You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
For the Built Four Tough Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, it's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network, and wherever you are on the free Odyssey app. Good Monday morning. Mike White gets it done for the Jets as they smack around the Chicago Bears at MetLife yesterday, and all things are good in Jetland for everybody, but Zach Wilson, what a performance by the offense. What a performance after the first quarter by the defense. And they look like a real playoff team, albeit against a not-so-good team with a backup quarterback. But those are the types of games that you have to win, and you have to win in that way. And you finally look like you had an NFL offense. I love this Mike White. I loved when I saw him last year. I thought he needed another opportunity at the beginning of this year instead of Joe Flacco. I said, put him in last week against the Patriots. He finally gets his shot, and in the rain, he delivers touchdown after touchdown, over 300 yards. Man, that was fun to watch. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, good morning, Jay. And I always say the proof is in the performance. And yesterday, you know, we're talking about this game on the NFL today. I'm like, it's going to be pouring rain. I mean, so how good is he going to be? Not only was he good, I mean, he was flat out great under those conditions, under all the pressure of what he had to do and how he had to get this offense in gear, all the expectations that were heaped upon him. And all I could sit here and say is, wow. I mean, wow. It was a tremendous performance. His accuracy was great. His ability to get rid of the ball was great. His ability to get to a second receiver was great. All do it while you have this rain coming down just nonstop. And I have to say, that was about as good a performance as we have seen this year from a quarterback, given the circumstances. And there were only two quarterbacks yesterday who threw for over 300 yards, three touchdowns, and no interceptions. The other one happened to be Trevor Lawrence, who led his team back to an unbelievable come-from-behind victory over the Baltimore Ravens. So Mike White said, hello, I'm here. I'm here, and I'm staying here. And now it's up for this young man to stay on the field, because I feel like it's deja vu. We went down this road with him last year, and he was really the only reason to be excited last year, his performance against the Bengals, especially with the way the defense was last year. Remember, that was the 32nd ranked defense.
Yes.
That's no longer the case. And if you have somebody that actually can complete passes and create first downs and get everybody involved, I think he hit 9 different receivers. So you have guys like Elijah Moore no longer bitching. You have guys like Garrett Wilson who's going to say, all the right things after a game like this, as opposed to what he said after last week's game in New England about how it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
So for every, I mean, and it's the Jets. It's the Jets. It's like unbelievable that this is happening 2 years in a row. But now the difference between this year and last year is that the Jets have a legitimate shot. They have a great defense. They have solid special teams. And now all of a sudden they have a quarterback that's reignited the offense. So I all I could sit here is and say, you know, God bless you, Mike White, because the game that you played yesterday was exactly what the Jet fan needed. It's exactly what was expected of you. And I would say that he outdid any expectations that anybody could have had given the circumstances and the environment yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a fluke last year. I don't think this is a fluke either. Now, do I think he's going to go and win the Super Bowl and have a movie made about him like Kurt Warner? I don't think that that's going to happen yet. I mean, everything's on the table. Everything's a possibility after yesterday. But he is good enough to take this team to the playoffs. And I think maybe even good enough to win them a playoff game. I mean, the way he plays, if you just forget about the name, where he came from, where he was drafted, and you just woke up and watched that game played, you would say the Jets finally have a quarterback. And I said the same thing last year after the Bengal game. If you had no idea who this guy was and where he came from, you would say finally the Jets were able to select a quarterback in the top 10 who was going to take them to the promised land. So that's why I think this is not a fluke. And oh, by the way, and I know Jerry's going to play some of the sound this morning in a little bit, it's the same stuff we heard last year from that locker room. They love this guy. This just isn't like the typical, hey, the quarterback played well, we have his back stuff. This is like over the top. They love this guy. This is exactly what the organization needed at the right time. And by the way, we were slamming him for waiting maybe a little bit too long and whatever was going on with Zach. Rob Saleh made that decision and made it, I think, at the perfect time.
Well, he made it at the perfect time, and I think all of us believe that, you know, Zach helped move that along with his comments after the game and how everybody around here and how the team was responding to Zach. And, you know, unfortunately, Zach looked terrible yesterday standing on the sideline. I feel bad for him, but you know what? This is big boy league. This is big boy time. You got to learn how to fit in. You got to learn how to lead a team, and you got to learn how to be, you know, the guy that they drafted you to be. And Mike White has sat and waited and waited and waited and waited. He's been a good teammate. He's been a good backup. He's been very supportive of Zach. He's saying all the right things. But now it's his chance to shine in the sun. And there's no way, the only way I think that Zach Wilson would even remotely get close to the field again will be if this kid, you know, gets hurt or has one of those four interception games.
Which he did against the Bills. And remember last year, it wasn't because Zach was benched. It was because Zach was hurt. And then Mike White had that game, and it sort of coincided with Zach Wilson coming back.
Now, and he also got hurt against Indianapolis. I mean, like part of...
He was hurt. Right, exactly. He got hurt against Indianapolis and came back and played the Bills game where he wasn't 100% and threw those four picks.
Yeah, I think that the quarterback question has been answered. There's no reason even to discuss it anymore.
Yeah.
There's the, you know, now it's the rest of the season. It's his team. And what he does from this point on will determine if he becomes, you know, like the Jets version of Taylor Heineke. You know,
I think he could be better.
Well, he could be better. Yeah. He's already shown two games in which, you know, Taylor Heineke has played well. I feel like he's just like a rough and tumble guy running all over the place and making plays, and he's like the Energizer Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Mike looks like he can handle the pocket. He's very calm, and he throws a very accurate ball, especially in those conditions yesterday. That's ridiculous. Phil and I were over there commiserating before the game, like, oh, my God, you believe he's got to start the game in this crap?
Yeah.
Over there? That's going to be awful.
Win, too.
Right, exactly. Then all of a sudden, the nose is down, the ball's hitting guys in the hands, and they're all catching it. And the
it's great amazing thing, how that offense looks when there's a guy running who knows what he's doing.
Well, I mean, the great thing about what he did is he got a lot of people involved. So everybody,
10
got
guys,
involved.
I think. Yeah.
And by the way, there's nobody, you know, talking about the offensive coordinator right now. Everybody seems to be very happy because the offense got going. And then the other surprise move by the Jets on offense was a little known running back by the name of Zonovan Knight. And who the hell is Zonovan Knight?
We found out yesterday.
And the fact that they told him on Saturday that he was going to play on Sunday, you know, was a shock also. And all he did was put up 103 yards of scrimmage. I think that's the best debut I think a Jet player's ever had in his debut. And what a nice little find that is. And I remember talking to Joe Douglas when he first took over with the Jets. And when he was with the Baltimore Ravens, he was on the staff of the Baltimore Ravens personnel grouping, and he used to really work hard at finding the undrafted free agents, and he always wanted the undrafted free agents, the Bart Scotts of the world, to turn out to be great players as compared to like those high draft picks. And that was like the little competition within the room at the Baltimore Ravens. Well, this is one of those kids. This happens to be a kid that's undrafted, started, I believe, 3 years at NC State, was their leading rusher for 3 years, and all of a sudden, here he comes out of the blue against, again, a depleted defense. Let's be realistic
about
that.
They've been terrible since they traded away those two guys on
defense. And what will be interesting now, they go on the road this week to Minnesota. What will be interesting will be the other side of the dynamic where Minnesota's going to score some points. You know, Justin Jefferson's going to be making plays. We all know that. So now the offense, as opposed to playing an opposing team that has a depleted defense and an offense that can't move anyway, now you're playing against a team that you can throw against because you can throw against Minnesota. Mac Jones looked like Tom Brady against Minnesota on Thursday night.
Yep.
So you'll be able to do that. You'll be able to throw the ball against them. The question is, can you keep up with them scoring? Because you know the defense is going to be taxed this week against one of the top offenses in football.
Yeah, I know. We'll spend a lot of time in this game, but just briefly because you brought it up. I think this is a terrible matchup for the Vikings for a couple of reasons. One, what you just said, now they could throw the ball with Mike White. And at every single Viking game I watch, there are wide receivers wide open in the middle of the field every game. And they have not found a way to fix that. And also, you want to talk about Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson at times is a one-man show. Sauce Gardner, you put him on Justin Jefferson, that's going to be a battle. It's going to be tougher than most corners that he's faced because he's one of the best corners in football right now.
It will be, but you know, like going back and look at the tape of the Patriot games, they had two guys around him almost the entire night.
I know.
He's still making
plays. He's great, but Sauce, I got to give Sauce respect for what he's done. I mean, he's been great so far this year.
All respect for what they've done.
Right, so I think that's going to be tough for them, and I think that anytime you have a defense that gets after the quarterback, and we're starting to see that, you know, more and more with the Jets, then that's an issue for them. So I actually think this is a great matchup for the Jets this week, which scares me up there in Minnesota. But, I mean, Mike White, where does the story go from here? I mean, I think he's going to play well up there. I really do. And I think he's going to end up taking them to the playoffs. You can't do what he has done, you know, in the short amount of time that we've seen him, and it be just a total fluke. It's impossible for it to be a total fluke. Now, we've seen total flukes like Matt Flynn. That was a total fluke.
Yeah, but I mean, this guy's had two games.
Two of the best games of the Jets he played offensively in a decade.
He's had two Mondays where he's awoken to, like, Mike White fever.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. And they're almost a year apart.
I know.
And that's what's the deja vu part of this whole thing. So now he's got to go on the road, just like they had to go on the road to Indianapolis. They're going to be playing indoors. They're going to be playing against a good team that's going to be putting up numbers. So now you got to do it again. And that's the thing, the hardest thing for any quarterback, for that matter, even the guys who have done it for years, they have a hard time doing it week to week. Now, I don't necessarily know that that's going to be the case here, simply because the Jets got some offensive playmakers.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see Elijah Moore actually get involved.
Right. No, I know. I mean, it really is amazing that, you know, there was just something there. There was no doubt there was something there between Zach Wilson and Elijah Moore. I don't know if they didn't like one another. I don't know if Zach Wilson just didn't get through his progressions enough to find out where Elijah Moore was. Whatever it was, I mean, it's no coincidence that Mike White, who had a great relationship with Elijah Moore last year when he played, all of a sudden he's the only guy that can get him involved.
Well,
Joe Flacco, I guess, maybe a little bit in the beginning of the year, but yeah, just crazy. Just absolutely
you know
crazy.
What, you know what it is, honestly? It's you could be friends with a guy off the field. You could be totally close friends with him. You could like him. You can hang out with him. You know, you could have a lot of similarities, whatever. But once you get on the field, the players know. Everybody knows. Everybody knows whether you're ready or you're not ready. Everybody knows whether or not you are the guy that's going to make the play. And that's why they like Mike White, because they know that he's ready to go and they know he's going to make the plays. The jury is still out on Zach Wilson. He's had moments where he's made some great throws and he's made some really good decisions. And then, you know, they're the bad side of Zach Wilson, where, you know, just finally came to a head. But, you know, I just think that once you're on the field, the players all know.
Yeah, and
they can tell.
Those throws, you know, those throws parallel to the line of scrimmage, those little bubble screen plays that Mike LaFleur likes to put in there, those things, Mike White, just boom, they're just right there. Zach's airmailing throws, he's throwing them into the ground. Like, I can't even imagine what Mike LaFleur is thinking up in, you know, upstairs, where he's like, I can finally run these plays and not worry about my quarterback throwing it 15 feet up into the air, into the sidelines.
You know, think about this. You would think, okay, you know, and I think the announcer said it yesterday. It was the Fox announcer. So I think
Daryl Johnston, who I think he's terrible now. He's been doing it for a long time. He says the same stuff every week. We've gotten Moose Johnson a couple times. It's this, there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity. He says opportunity 75 times a game.
All right,
They're going to have a conversation about the opportunity. He stinks. They got to get him out of there.
Oh, wait,
but anyway, it was Joe Davis and Daryl Johnson.
I wasn't doing it to go after those guys.
God,
I wasn't doing
so
that. That's your take on things.
Dale.
Well, Joe Davis said a very thing at the beginning of the game, saying, you know, both teams are going to rely on their running game because of the environment. You know, it was so bad. It was so wet that, you know, it's going to be really hard to throw the ball. And, you know, I think I probably would have agreed. Well, I know I would have agreed with him before the game started.
Sure, yeah.
And then to watch Mike White just navigate all of that.
I mean, even in the first quarter, Trevor Siemian had like 150 yards of passing in the first quarter.
It was crazy. And the fact that the wide receivers were catching everything.
Yeah. I mean, even so, you saw a bobbled snap on a field goal, so you knew the conditions were tough. I mean, the balls were wet, and Mike White was able to navigate through it. I think Jarrell Johnson at the end of the game, too, was like, he goes, hey, man, I tell you, that Rob Saleh's going to have a tough decision to make. Does he? Tough decision to make.
Tough decision to make about what?
The quarterback is what he was implying.
Yeah, well, the only thing I can tell you is that the announcers do get to sit down with the coaches before the game starts. You know, in other words, they sit and they go over everything. And Rob Saleh did say, and I think they reiterated it on the broadcast yesterday, that, you know, it's not an easy decision to sit a kid down. And when you know that you have to sit him down.
Yeah.
And to have these conversations with this kid who you genuinely like and want him to be great. But unfortunately, he's holding the team back.
I'll tell you, it's an easy decision now to keep him sat down.
That performance yesterday, the only way I could describe it would be almost, it's flawless.
Yeah.
It's right. A flawless 300-yard, 3-touchdown, no turnover performance in a driving rainstorm.
Yeah. There was one dropped interception that definitely helped him out.
It happens. You know, for every one that gets tipped up in the air and gets picked off,
you're right.
You can have them drop one.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jets were the big story yesterday with the Giants playing on Thanksgiving, so the spotlight was on Mike White and that offense, and he delivered in a big way. Jerry Recco is here to tell you all about it. Good morning, Jerry. What's going on?
Well, Mike White is going on. We're brought to you by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com. We're also brought to you by Flag and Anthem, Real Clothes for Real Life. Now, as we hear from Chris Carino on Compass Media Networks.
Mike White, under center, fakes the handoff, sets up in the pocket. Going to throw down the seam. He's got Garrett Wilson. A juggling catch. Makes a man miss at the 30. Straight down the field toward the right numbers to the 10. 5. Touchdown. Garrett Wilson. 54 yards.
And that was it. Jets would never look back.
We got Mike White.
That's right.
Let's fall.
The interesting thing is Eddie Jackson, a free safety for the Bears, gets hurt on that play. Another injury on the turf at MetLife Stadium that is a non-contact injury. See him laying there right in the middle of the field?
Yep.
That was a great play by Garrett Wilson, though. Great understanding of where he was on the field. Saw DeAndre Hopkins do something similar yesterday for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, what a move there, man. You want to talk about, well, I don't want to say breaking ankles because Eddie Jackson actually got hurt there.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a great move there by Garrett Wilson.
I'll tell you, it was a really good throw by Mike White, and the fact that Garrett Wilson was able to hold on to it, even though it went through, like, the hands of the linebacker for the for the Bears. Amazing.
31-10, the final. White, 22 of 28, 315, three touchdowns, no picks, fifth player in NFL history, multiple games with 300 yards and three touchdown passes in his first four career starts. He had one touchdown there to Garrett Wilson. He had two on the day. Elijah Moore, a couple of catches, including a touchdown. Ty Johnson, a 32-yard touchdown. It was all good. Here was Rob Saleh. How about White's day?
He did a great job. He didn't need to be anybody but Mike White. We didn't need to turn into the greatest show on turf. We just wanted him to play within himself and play efficient. I thought he did that.
Why does everybody call him Mike White?
I don't know.
It's like Mike Vick. Remember?
No, it's like Chris, Al Dukes. Everyone calls him Al Dukes.
That's right. Remember how Chris Collinsworth used to refer to Mike Vick, Mike Vick, Mike Vick? He must have said Mike Vick 1,000 times in that one game that they were doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably because it's a very common name, and it's just, you know, it's Mike White. It's two syllables.
What Mike Vick did there, get a shot on Mike Vick. That's not all bad. Mike Vick ducking his head. That's the position you want out of Mike Vick. You want Mike Vick on the ground. Mike Vick is not even getting hit after the throw. Let's see if Mike Vick knows all his hot reads.
Buenos tacos, amigos. So there we go. So it's now it's Mike White, no matter what.
Yeah, 100%. It's the way it's got
to
be.
It's not Zach. You know, it was Zach, right? It was Flacco. Like you'd refer to Joe Flacco as Flacco. You'd refer to Zach Wilson as Zach.
It's Mike White.
But now it's Mike White.
Damn right.
Here is the Jet quarterback.
Damn right, Mike White.
So how did it go?
It's awesome. I mean, just going out there playing football with your friends and guys you've been with for a couple years now. And when it wasn't my time to play, obviously I'm super supportive of them and I'm having fun with them too. But just to be out there and be a part of it and help the team win is
awesome. Play with your friends and make a couple million bucks. It's pretty good.
No doubt. And that, how about the fact the fans were chanting his name?
It's always cool. I'm not going to sit here and give you some quarterback cliche that I'm not focusing on that, which there are times I'm not, but towards the end of the game, I think it would be a lot cooler if they didn't do it while we were trying to snap the ball. But no, I'm not going to complain too much about that.
And so one of his favorite targets was Garrett Wilson. He was on SNY after the game. So how about Mike White?
I'm happy to see, you know, Mike go out there and ball. We all knew he could ball, but man, he went crazy today and love to see it.
So there you go. Now,
it's amazing that he was asked the question and that he was made available.
What do you mean?
Garrett Wilson?
Garrett Wilson.
No, yeah. Here was Garrett Wilson again on SNY. Also very happy for Elijah Moore. How come?
Because he deserves it. You know, he comes in and works his ass off every day and has the right attitude. You know, it's obviously a lot going on in a locker room, in a facility that a lot of people on the outside don't know.
Yeah, and I've been saying, as long as you get that pretty boy bitch out of here, we're going to do our thing. So I've been trying to tell y'all.
By the way, there were things going on in that locker room that we didn't know.
What do you mean it sound like?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Here was Elijah Moore, so has a different type of relationship. Now, we remember Odell Beckham Jr. had a relationship with the kicking net.
Sure.
Elijah Moore apparently had a relationship with the ball.
With the football.
Apparently.
No, I miss it. I was talking to it yesterday. I was talking to the ball, and I was just like, damn, like, you already know how I feel about you. And I was kissing her. It's going to be soon. It's going to happen soon.
Yeah. He says he got through some tough times without the ball, and everything worked itself out.
You don't weather the storm, you become a storm, you know, so I'm just thankful, you know, I can't thank God enough, man.
Wow. He likes thanking God.
She told me she loved me and she wanted to get back to it.
The ball.
Yeah. I think he's trying to have some fun. I hope he's not a total wacko.
I'm not sure.
Because it's one or the other. He's either trying to have fun or he's a total wacko. I'm going to say he's trying to have fun.
Yeah, not really sure to be quite honest with you. But the Jets will be at your Minnesota Vikings on Sunday, 1:00, which will be the same time the Giants play the Commanders. That kind of sucks that both teams are playing at the same time, but it is what it is. Now, Sunday night, you had the Eagles and Packers. Yes, Aaron Rodgers did get hurt in this game, but how about Jalen Hurts? He throws for 153. He runs for 157. He did it all, and the Eagles beat the Packers.
Hurts of the gun, gets the snap. Back to pass. Looking, going deep right side this time, and that is caught for the touchdown. He threw the back shoulder throw, and Quez Watkins got it. working against Douglas. What a throw, what a catch. And the Eagles have retaken the lead with 13 seconds to go.
And that was Westwood 1 with the call. The Eagles would beat the Pack 40-33. I mentioned 153 through the air for Hurts. He had two touchdown passes. Ran for 157, a Eagles quarterback record. Miles Sanders ran for 143 yards, couple of touchdowns. And here's the scary part. He says we're still getting there.
We haven't played our best game yet this year, so.
And they're 10-1.
Yeah, I think they're 363 yards on the ground.
Crazy. I mean, I know anything can happen. They ended up losing to the Commanders on that Monday night game, but I mean, I think that they're 15-2 at worst.
I agree with you.
I mean, it's just looking, now they host the Titans. They got the Giants twice. They have to go to Dallas. So I think they maybe will lose one of those games. They host the Saints and then host the Giants again.
I think the Titans are a bad matchup for them because they don't stop the run.
Yeah.
They really don't. And, you know, the Bengals stopped the run. You know, that's what they were able to do yesterday. And, you know, and Titan defense is a bitch to play against, man.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they lose to the Titans and the Cowboys, then you're talking 14-3. But to me, I mean, this team is just.
So you're still thinking number one seed in the NFC.
Hard to say no.
For the Eagles? Oh, yeah. I mean,
as opposed to your Vikings.
Yeah, the Eagles would have to choke it away, in my opinion.
Your Vikings are one game behind them.
No, I understand, but they have
they
the
also
tie.
They're lost actually, them, right? They also
right, lost head to head, so it's technically two games because right. They can't be tied.
That's right. They game in Philly earlier in the year.
Yeah.
So, yep, they're 10-1. The Packers 4-8. Who knows if Aaron Rodgers plays again? He left the game with a rib injury. The late games, Niners beat the Saints. They shut them out 13-0. The Chiefs beat the Rams 26-10. And then this game was tremendous, although we couldn't see the end of it on CBS because it wasn't on CBS in New York after Red Zone left it.
What Raiders, is the deal with that? We need to get to the bottom of that. Whose fault was that?
Hold on for a second. You hit me with this morning. I had no idea. I was sitting in the studio watching.
You were watching. Yeah.
Watching the Seahawks and the Raiders.
Yes.
It went into overtime.
Yep.
Now, that was on CBS, obviously, in those markets.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the rest of the network must have wanted to go to 60 Minutes.
Which is fine, but the Red Zone is what I had the issue with because Scott Hanson, who I've trusted for many years.
Oh, Scott Hanson, it's his fault then.
I've trusted for many years, tells me and the rest of the country to go over to your local CBS where I could watch the end of this overtime.
But if you're in Europe, stay here.
Exactly. International customers, stay here. If you're in America, then you go over to your local CBS. I go to local CBS to some guy, you know, wiping off dinosaur bones with a brush.
All right, we got to get a man with knowledge. Get me Mike North on the phone or Hans Schroeder, one of those two guys.
So I will tell you,
want to find out what the hell is going on here, because it ain't our fault.
But the Red Zone Channel did a very good job by adding the final touchdown at the end of the touchdown package. So we did see the 84-yard, which I'm going to play in a second.
Josh Jacobs run.
So they did play it.
But he didn't see it live. I already knew. I was gone at that point. I was watching game day highlights.
I thought it was to protect the 425 national game.
I don't know I'm so confused with the TV rules and everything. I've been in it for 22 years. But I'm very confused. I'm very confused about that. And I'm also very confused. I'm also very confused about what is a catch and what isn't a catch anymore.
Please, that's such a joke.
I mean, the ball moved an inch, so some
Patriot
guy in Park Avenue is making a decision that it's an incomplete pass. I don't even know who that is.
Yes, Al.
Al.
I said quite simply, the Red Zone can show just one game. That's it. That's the rule.
But why is that a rule?
Hold on a second. No. They can't show one game if you could see it somewhere else.
No, I think that the Red Zone is not designed to be a single game.
Understood, but I do think when it's the final game of the day.
And you're taking it off whatever network it is on.
Now, if he would have told me, we're taking this off, we're sorry, those are the rules, I could have accepted that. He told me that it was on my local CBS.
Right. Well, that was his fault.
Right.
So that was his fault.
Right, but it's not the rules' fault.
Yeah, but there's probably some TV contract somewhere that has like the fine print in it. You got to go find it.
See, I thought it was only applied to the 425s, but it wasn't the 425. There was a 405.
Oh, there's a 405 game, yes.
And I went to the CBS Sports app thinking I could, I'll just watch it here.
It there.
No,
black there.
Now, how about NFL Plus?
No, it has to be a local game.
If you had the ticket, though, you could watch it.
Right, exactly.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
You would have had all the games. Here's how it did
sound. So that's why they want you to pay for the ticket. Get Mike North or Hans Schroeder on, and let's ask them directly what the deal is.
So if you missed it, this is how it ended.
That's the deal. They can't show more than one game.
What do you mean?
That's what the rule is. That's not what Red Zone is.
Yeah, but what Red Zone said, go to your local CBS.
Well, that was a mistake by them.
That's the Red Zone mistake.
Right.
But who owns Red Zone, by the way?
How long, though?
Who owns Red Zone? Is that an NFL? Yeah, so it's the NFL's fault.
Right.
It's your fault, Mike North and Hans Schroeder. It's their fault. Is that whose fault it is?
No.
In your eyes?
Somebody gave Scott Hansen bad information. That's the only fault. Whoever that guy is or gal.
Find them.
Their fault.
Find them.
They don't owe us to show the game.
No, I think they should.
If you don't have the Sunday ticket, you don't have the right to watch every game.
Yeah, but you can't tell people to go somewhere and then not have it
be
there.
That's the issue I had.
If that was just really inconvenient, Jerry.
Just a little apology from Scott Hansen.
I don't know what else you want him to do.
So Scott Hansen's fault.
I guess.
No, Scott Hansen's busy. It's someone who told Scott Hansen in his ear.
I agree with Al. He's got 9,000 people working on that show. Someone couldn't have looked up the rules?
I mean, you would think
How long has Scott been doing this? He's got to know. He's got to be something's fishy
here. The
guy
doesn't even take a bathroom break. Someone should have researched that for him.
Yeah. Somebody dropped the ball over there, that's for sure.
Here's how it sounded on Compass Media Networks.
Down to 5 on the play clock. Gets the snap. Hands off to Jacob. Stutters to the right. Burst through the hole. 20. 25. 30. He's off to the races. Here in Seattle, nobody's going to catch him. 25. 20. 10. Ball game. Bye-bye, Josh. 86 yards in overtime to walk it off for a second straight week. Touchdown, Raiders. Victory, Las Vegas.
I got to tell you.
Just it was win, baby.
Yeah.
The Raiders.
It was amazing to watch it live. It was amazing. On the big screen TV.
We didn't get to. Yeah. We had 60 minutes left.
I was watching some guy dig up a stegosaurus.
So 40-34 was the final score of that game. Chargers beat the Cardinals 25-24. You got the Austin Eckler touchdown catch, then the two-point conversion that they go for. Panthers beat the Broncos 23-10 earlier
in the day. Stink. Oh, my God.
You know, the Broncos only scored 154 points in 11 games.
They are terrible.
How about that defensive lineman screaming at Russell Wilson? That was great.
You're not kidding. Things not going well in Denver.
That's for sure. A mess.
Steelers, Colts tonight. Also, you had the stripper cat in Jacksonville that was wearing the thong and gyrating after they scored touchdowns.
Yeah, so was that. Yep.
Yes. Yeah, so there was that. So we'll get to some of that later on as well. Knicks lost to the Grizzlies 127-123. High scoring affair. Jalen Brunson had a great game, but in the final 10 seconds, missed two shots that would have put them ahead or at least tied the game. Here was Tom Thibodeau.
That's it. Take your shot. You know, that's his bread and butter. Got to where he wanted to be. Got a good shot up. We missed.
And prior to this one, he missed a foul line jumper that he was open for and didn't get it to go. Ja Morant. 27 points, 10 rebounds, 14 assists.
I'll tell you what, if you were playing for Dallas or if you were playing for Memphis, he would have hit those shots. I'm telling you right now, just something. You put the Knicks uniform on.
He was great the whole
game. I know he was. I'm not saying
anything. Better than advertised.
And he's been great for being here. It just goes to show you. Like, did you think any point yesterday, towards the end of this game, because this is when I caught it, was towards the end of this game, watching this, and it was back and forth, and Breen was talking about haymakers being thrown and everything else, and it was good.
I saw the whole fourth quarter.
It was entertaining, but you know, why does Ja Morant play against us and not the Knicks?
Ja Morant also missed a big... So this is the funny thing. Everybody's like, oh, well, the Knicks see what they missed out on in Ja Morant. Ja Morant also missed a crucial free throw and missed a wide-open three-pointer that gave Jalen Brunson two opportunities.
But they still won.
They did win. They are good. They're a very good team. The Nets also won. They beat the Blazers 111-97. I'll just give you one highlight from here from Bob Uesler.
One bounce, Curry. Beautiful fake and the shoot. And he hits again. Steph Curry now with 6 three-pointers. And Curry off the bench with 24 points. 92-87 Brooklyn.
And that was Bob Uesler, Nets Radio. They beat the Blazers 111-97. Seth Curry, 7 of 10 from 3. He had 29. Kevin Durant, 31 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Nets with the win on Sunday. Also of note, at the World Cup, Cameroon trailing Serbia this morning 3-1. You got South Korea.
3-3, by the way, now.
I mean, it was just 3-1 when I came.
I know.
Now it's 3-3, yes.
3-3, Cameroon has scored a couple of quick goals.
75th minute.
That is updated by the moment right
yes,
there.
Right, yes.
We also have a red card to finish it. Well done. I'll give you the details on that.
South Korea plays Ghana at 8. Brazil and Switzerland at 11. Portugal and what do we say, Uruguay?
Uruguay.
All right, Uruguay. 2 p.m. for that game. Rangers, Devils tonight. UConn beat Iowa State 71-53. Seton Hall lost to Siena 60-55.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Get your jet calls in at 877-337-6666. But prior to the Commanders game at FedEx Field, the Commanders were telling everybody they were going to unveil a Sean Taylor memorial statue because it had been 15 years since he was killed, and they were going to make sure that they did right by the Sean Taylor memorial. And they ended up unveiling, which had to have been...
A statue?
It was not a statue.
It was a statue. Was it a mannequin?
It wasn't quite even a mannequin.
Was there anything that was identifiable towards Sean, the person?
No, not the person. No, just his jersey was put on essentially a wire mannequin. Like, it was no head, there was no torso, there were no legs. It was just like wire arms that they put gloves on, and then his jersey and the helmet over it, and his pants and his cleats.
Stay classy, Commanders.
I mean, it's just...
Oh, my God.
Now, Art Stapleton, who covers the Giants, he responded to one of the tweets ago, the Giants have one of those things in their locker room to show the players what jersey they are wearing that week.
What uniform combination.
So his guess was like they just took that out of their own locker room and put it in this glass case, threw Sean Taylor's jersey on it, were like, oh, there's your memorial.
And there are your Washington Commanders. Can't wait for this dipwad to sell the team. Right?
Yeah, that's right. And also they put the old Redskins logo on his helmet.
Oh, that's the helmet he wore.
I know, but how about do a statue of his face then?
Well, yeah, you could do a statue of him just standing there in his uniform on the sideline. You know what I'm
saying?
Could
have done that, yeah.
And you don't have to get the helmet and everything else involved if you don't want to tick off somebody. I don't know. Jesus, God. Such a half-ass organization. That's why everybody wants this guy to sell it. And what's amazing about this whole thing.
Yeah.
With the Washington Commanders. So they started 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
In their last seven games, they're 6-1. And over that period of time, they have the best record in football.
That's right. They are good. Look at that. Win-loss first on CBS Sports Network. Takeaways first. Opposition yards per game, third. Opposition points per game, third. And Chase Young still hasn't come back yet.
And that is why, you know, my boy, Tony T., you know, CBS considers himself the leader of the Giant Nation.
Yeah.
He's imploring Giant fans to show up this week and make this a home field advantage for the Giants, because this is all hands on deck, as he says.
Obviously a huge week for them, the biggest game of the year for the Giants, arguably. I think it has to be at this point of the season with them losing a couple of games in a row. And I heard Joe Beningo call in to Brian Rascona, who was hosting the overnight this morning, and talk about how good Tyler Henke is playing for the Washington
Tyler Henke. Yeah, he's good.
Tyler Henke. How about this Henke? This Tyler Henke. Unbelievable. Let's go to Mike, who's in Freehold. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's up, boys? How are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
So, you know, I went to that game. I told you I hurt my finger the last game I was there.
Right. So you were the guy, just to refresh everybody's memory, you were the guy when the camera broke.
In the Bills game, right?
Right. It Jets Bills, and it held up the game for a while. You were holding on to the cable to make sure that it was not touching children and decapitating people. And then when they lifted the camera up, it ended up breaking your finger.
Yeah, I had surgery on my finger the 3 days later.
And, wow.
You know, I went to the game yesterday. They put me on the field, you know, in pregame. Saw a few of the guys. Elijah Moore came over. I said, "Hey, Elijah, how's it feel that you're going to have a real quarterback throw you the ball today?" And he was super excited. Let me just say that. I can tell you that right now. So there was definitely drama in that locker.
How did they know that you broke your finger? Did you write to them or talk to your ticket rep or something?
So my rep, you know, my rep is the one who got in touch with me and was like, "Listen, we're going to put you on the field." They brought me a little goodie bag and it had all size medium shirts in it, maybe a pair of gloves, some women's socks that had in the bag. They did a great job.
All right, nice.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
Mike's happy. That's what I like.
That's an organization knows what they're doing.
Right, huh? Exactly.
Knows how to treat their fans. So you're happy. Even with the broken finger, you're happy.
Even with the broken finger, I'm happy. I'm happy we're winning some games. You know, I was in New England last week. I was not happy there.
God.
And I was there. So I was not happy there. So, but yeah, I mean, they were stoked to have. Listen, I spoke to Conklin. I had a few conversations with those guys. It was really, really a good time with them. And Elijah Moore, I can tell you, that guy's a ball player. And I'm happy he's happy, and I hope we keep him happy, and I hope he stays here.
That's I mean, at this point, him getting involved and the offense looking like it did yesterday definitely helps all that.
I just think back to that draft, man. How I love that kid.
Yeah.
And he did some stupid things this year, you know, the whole thing about wanting to be traded and all that other stuff. You know, now he's loving the football and God's telling him that, I mean, you know, just play football, man. You're really a good player. And, you know, he got involved yesterday. The best thing that Mike White did is he got pretty much everybody involved. And this guy, Zonovan Knight, came out of nowhere.
Right. And that was because James Robinson, not a guy who plays special teams and needed someone active to play special teams. Michael Carter ends up getting hurt. He hurts his ankle in the game, and all of a sudden, here comes Zonovan. Well, I think his nickname is Bam.
Yes.
Yeah, so here he comes.
You never know, man. You just never know when your opportunity is going to show itself. And two guys yesterday took advantage of that in a big way. Mike White and Zonovan Knight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.